Welcome back to the Union Edge Labor's Talk Radio. I'm Brittany Sheets, and I'm here with Angela Bachman today.
Thanks for joining us. You can find us online at theunionedge.com, on Facebook, on Twitter, and you can catch a podcast on iTunes if you missed the live show.
And a quick thank you to the Maritime Trades and ATU Local 85 for all of your support. We really appreciate it. And don't forget, guys, Friday, March 24th, we are having a party. Come in, join us, hang out, see the studio, meet everybody, and eat some really awesome food. We're really excited, and we hope to see you guys there. Check out more information on our website if you're curious, www.theunionedge.com.
And joining us right now from Politico, we have Jenny Hopkinson. She's the agriculture reporter, and we have a lot to talk about. Jenny, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
So a lot of people have been talking about what they like and don't like in the proposed budget from the president, mostly what they don't like and mostly what's being cut. I've heard a lot less about the agriculture department, which actually is getting the biggest chopping block, right?
It's up there. I mean, it's something... Excuse me. It's 21% of its discretionary funds, which accounts for $4.7 billion.
Oh my God,
that's a lot. And as you reported, this obviously hits rural America specifically very hard. And we know that Trump had a lot of rural voters. So tell us a little bit about what that actually looks like.
So this has kind of been one of the interesting things, you know, when I looked at the budget yesterday morning. Trump did incredibly well in rural America. And we can, you know, there's a lot of reasons why he did, and both related to his campaign and both related to the Clinton campaign and what she didn't necessarily do. But, you know, he's kind of dragged his feet, or it seems to us that he's dragged his feet on kind of that part of the country since. We still don't have an agriculture secretary. It is one of kind of three remaining cabinet positions, three or four, that have yet to be filled. But we haven't even had a confirmation hearing for a cabinet secretary. So then kind of you add to that this budget, which USDA is a $150 billion agency. And of that, kind of two-thirds to three-fourths is all mandatory funding that goes to food stamp programs and to crop support programs and to things like that. So kind of what's left is this roughly $20 billion chunk of discretionary spending. And a lot of that is your rural infrastructure programs, your kind of rental assistance. Yeah, food safety is in there. So is, a slew of other things, some nutrition assistance, kind of money to build wastewater plants in rural areas where they can't get small business, you know, can't get other types of loans. So we kind of looked at this budget and we said, you know, wait a second, the things that they're leaving, the things that they're taking off the table for cuts are, you know, kind of food safety and fire suppression, which account for a lot of the discretionary budget because there's a lot of wildfire problems in this country. And then kind of the WIC program, the Women's, Infants, and Children's kind of supplemental nutrition assistance, but kind of what was left was all of the rural programs, which is kind of crazy. So we found that really interesting, which kind of led to this story of, you know, how Trump may have, you know, won in large part because rural America came out so heavily for him, but he's not really kind of, at least his budget plan doesn't really serve that constituency.
There's so much that's wrapped up in this that I feel like people don't necessarily realize, which you don't see until you do something like you guys did. You sit down and you start really peeling through just even one department that they're talking about cutting. Like you see 20% cut to agriculture. You see a proposed like 30% cut to the Environmental Protection Agency. But that's just on the outside. You don't see what that entails really until you really start looking into what is all involved in this and the programs that are involved in this and the different elements that you're like, oh, hey, wait a minute, I use that, or oh, whoa, this is actually like a really good program. I didn't realize that this is going to be impacted by this.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And especially in kind of rural areas that, you know, it's not cost efficient for the private industry to go out and, you know, make money available for building drinking water plants for communities of 1,000 people or less, or whatever the limit is. I mean, a lot of these programs that serve rural areas from the USDA are actually kind of written in the requirements for these grants and loans is that private companies and private industry and other private funding sources won't won't do this because it's too small. So yeah, I mean, it's a big chunk of this country that kind of uses these programs, you know, that are all on the chopping block. And to be sure, we should kind of, this is a good moment to remind everybody that the president's budget is always a wish list.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Obama's budget, even when the Democrats were in power, never went through. It is a wish list at best. And yesterday on Capitol Hill, Republicans were largely telling me, you know, oh, well, you know, it's an interesting document, but, you know, it's just a wish list, and we're going to have our own budget, and we're the ones that actually fund the government, which is kind of a nice way of saying, you know, a lot of what's in this document is just kind of undoable. Like, you can't cut, you know, whether or not you can even cut a department 21% is in UK. USDA's case, or 31% at EPA, and that's a much smaller budget, so I don't think it adds up to the $4.7 billion that USDA has, but it's still relevant to the size of their agency. But, you know, it's definitely a very strong signal of how the administration would like the country to look, and also a strong signal to congressional Republicans of what they are going to want to see in a congressional budget. And, you know, this was a very thin document. A lot of what we figured out was reading between the lines of kind of like, well, you name these four programs, but what don't you name? In May, we should be getting a better sense of the budget. The president's team has said that they'll come out with something, kind of a more detailed version. They've referred to what was released yesterday as a blueprint budget, but that there'll be a more detailed version in May. And it'll be really interesting to see if those are the same cuts, if they are coming from the same places, you know, and kind of what it looks like once they break out exactly which programs they want to go.
So what are we looking at as far as a timeline for the congressional version of the budget? Or does the White House have to put out a more detailed version first, and then Congress will take it, review it, and then make their own changes and hacks to it?
I mean, I think Congress likes to see what the White House puts out. I mean, especially for Republicans, you know, Trump is their party leader, kind of, you know, he won the main election, right? So mm-hmm. There's a sense of a mandate behind him, and that his priority should get some sort of a nod. You know, if it's, you know, they're facing a midterm, and unfortunately we always talk about the next election, but, you know, all of the Republicans or all the members of the House will be up in 2018 for a midterm, and if Trump is popular, then, you know, they're going to need to be able to take back to their districts that, yeah, you know, we put funding aside for a border wall, we increased defense spending in line with what the president was calling for, and so I think they kind of like that guideline from Trump as the party leader, or from any president as the party leader. You know, but of course, you know, representatives in the House are beholden to their constituents, and so, you know, they would certainly hear a lot, especially kind of in rural districts, if these programs were cut. So, you know, the kind of the next big milestone in the government funding, you know, game, whatever we want to call it, the government is funded until April 28th for 2017 funding.
Okay.
So they're either going to have to write a budget that goes into effect on April 28th, or do another continuing resolution until the end of the fiscal year, which is the end of September. You know, and then come the end of September, I think the impression we're getting is that they want to do a big, you know, the Republicans have all three, have both houses in the presidency. And so I think at the end of that point, they're going to want to do a big omnibus, which is kind of an actual spending bill that kind of lays out the priorities instead of another continuing resolution, which is what the government's been operating under for quite a while now. So that's kind of, you know, so we'll see what they decide to do to fund the budget, to fund the government past April 28th. You know, right now, Congress is very much tied up in Obamacare talks and still dealing with confirmation hearings next week. We have the nominee for the Supreme Court, the nominee for, I think, the Labor Department, and the Agriculture nominee all have confirmation hearings, and I think there is an Obamacare vote in the House. So next week is going to be a busy one. And then I think after that, they are going to have to talk about appropriations and funding the government. You know, Congress will be in, I think they have 2 weeks off around Easter. So presumably they're going to want to make a lot of decisions or at least get some things down before they leave for that. Because, of course, that's, 2 weeks before April 28th. So,
all right. Well, we are out of time. We are up against a hard break. I've only got a couple seconds left. Thank you so much for joining us today. Oh, man, is there a lot coming up on the plate. I'm Brittany Sheets, and you've been listening to the Union Edge Labor's Talk Radio.